Emily, who's with me here on set for the press review today. Emily, you're starting off with the Austrian papers, aren't you, today, after that attack on a school in Graz left 11 people dead, many wounded as well.
The story is on most Austrian front pages, but let's start with the Courier here. They say Austria is in tears after the nation's deadliest post-war mass shooting, Amoklauf, they call it, a killing spree. It's a term that comes back in a lot of the coverage. Chancellor Christian Stoker called it a national tragedy and announced 3 days of mourning. The paper asks, how do you speak to your children about the unspeakable? Now, the Salzburger Nachrichten is also in mourning today with this blacked out front page. Words cannot describe this horror. A quote there by President Alexander Van der Bellen. The paper says that many Austrian school kids are afraid of going back to school today. Die Presse, meanwhile, is asking warum, or why this tragedy happened and how it could be stopped in the future. Now, Austria is one of the safest countries in Europe, despite there being 30 guns per 100 residents and being 12th ranked in the world for gun ownership. The attacker legally owned the two firearms he used and had a gun license, according to local police. Now, the front page of Kronen Zeitung here uses a still from a video taken by one of the students as they were escaping their school. The paper just headlines with Amok, again, mass killing. Now, they have an article today where they're discussing the profile of the shooter, a 21-year-old former student. Now, it reports that authorities found a suicide note at his home where he claimed to have been a victim of bullying and felt threatened in that school.
Well, Austria, not the only country reeling from attack at a school. France also in shock after a teaching assistant was stabbed to death by a 14-year-old. What are the French papers saying on this?
Let's start with Aujourd'hui en France, the daily. They're remembering Mélanie today on their front page. The 31-year-old teaching assistant was stabbed to death by a 14-year-old pupil during a bag check. The Figaro here also saying that France is in shock. This article says that the young student had a history of bullying. Libération also discussing it on their front page. Here they say that the incident has revived debate on knife control. President Macron, meanwhile, has announced that he suggests banning social media for children under the age of 15. Libération, though, warns against, quote, simplistic security responses. It says that such cases require a much more complex solution.
And meanwhile, the question of violence in schools and online extremism is unsurprisingly very present in people's minds. But Emily's found one long read in particular on the topic. What's this say?
Well, this is a long read in the Financial Times today about the story of Rhiannon Rudd. In 2021, Rhiannon became the youngest girl in the UK to be charged with crimes of terrorism at only 15 years old. Those charges were later dropped and authorities admitted and recognised that Rhiannon was actually groomed. She was later considered to be a victim under the modern slavery legislation. But her story is leading to a re-evaluation of how teenage radicalisation is understood. Rhiannon was diagnosed with autism in her teens. Her path to far-right extremism started off with a fascination for a German character in a video game. She was later befriended and groomed by an American neo-Nazi she met online and chatted with over WhatsApp. Rhiannon ended up downloading a manual on how to build a pipe bomb, threatening to blow up a synagogue, and had built a shrine to Adolf Hitler in her bedroom. After her arrest, Rhiannon was placed in a de-radicalisation home. Now, the programme was relatively successful until she was given back access to social media. She was then drawn back into the channels which had radicalised her in the first place, and she committed suicide a few months later, aged only 16 years old. Now, the coroner's report highlighted the difference in technical literacy between teenagers and the adults who are supposed to monitor and care for them. Rhiannon was able to access extremist channels without her carers realising. Now, Rhiannon's case has led to a rethink of how to deal with extremism in teenagers, and investigators are encouraged to approach vulnerable teens as victims of grooming rather than terrorists. This article, though, says that the underlying problem remains the availability of extremist content online.
Yeah, and the vulnerability of children online is a new topic we're having to learn about. But there are other demographic shifts happening. What can you tell us?
Well, this is a story in Al Jazeera, but brought to us by the UN Population Fund. They've released a new report looking at why people aren't having so many children anymore. They say that money, not infertility, is the cause of the plummeting birth rate. According to the UN, 39% of people say that financial limitations prevent them from having a child, but 21% say that fear of the future is the reason they did not want children. The report concludes by saying that lack of choice, not desire, is the reason for the global fertility crisis.
And finally, a new solution to phone addiction in young children has been suggested. This is in the UK, isn't it? What's this about?
Well, this is good news in the Times. The authorities have suggested they might ban no-ball game signs in an attempt to get children back outside and away from their phones. Experts say that these signs send the wrong message to children, and they recommend that barriers to playing should be taken down as much as possible.
Yeah, ball games wherever you want, according to them anyway. Thanks a lot, Emily, for all the papers for you on France 24. A lot more coming up, including my guest, Corey Richards, of course, in Perspective in a few minutes' time. Do stay with us.